Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh, I'm doing great. Happy March.
Yeah. Is it 95 degrees in Florida now that it's March?
No, it's only in the 70s. It's kind of nice.
So in South Carolina yesterday, it was like 80 degrees. And
really?
Today it's 50 and it's supposed to go down to freezing tonight. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, I don't know. We had two cold, rainy days last week, and then it warmed up like Tuesday, Wednesday. Midday Thursday, it went from like 70 to 50 in the course of like 4 hours. And then the last couple of days, it's been in the 70s. But yeah, it's bizarre.
Well, you know what they say, climate change doesn't exist.
No, of course not. We're all imagining this.
But it's been a tough week for Hollywood.
Yes.
So we had a number of celebrity deaths this week. The first one was Michelle Trachtenberg.
Right.
Who died at the age of 39. Probably best known for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I guess.
Yep.
Maybe Harriet the Spy, depending on your age.
Mm-hmm.
But she played Buffy's sister, Dawn, in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Right.
Apparently, she had just had a liver transplant.
Right.
And not really sure if that contributed or not, but she was found dead in her apartment, I guess by her mother.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, I mean, that's fucking terrible. 39 mm-hmm. is just damn. So yeah, that was first. Then the big one that happened, Gene Hackman and his wife were found dead in their home.
Right.
And apparently
mummified.
Apparently they had been dead for a while.
Uh-huh.
There's been all kinds of weird reports about what actually happened. He was found in the mudroom, kind of facing a door that was ajar.
Right.
And his wife was found in the bathroom with, I guess, pills all around her and like a knocked over space heater. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was foul play, but the one report that I saw speculated that I guess his wife had heart problems.
Okay.
And maybe had a heart attack and was trying to take some medication, you know, before help got there, and he had seen her collapse on the floor or whatever, and he was on his way out to go get help. And like just was overcome, and maybe he had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely tragic. I mean, Gene Hackman has got to be one of my top five favorite actors of all time. Very famously, he retired from Hollywood and was really only seen like on the streets of like the town that he lived in.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he was also an author towards the end of his life. But yeah, I mean, he lived a good long life. He was 95 when he died.
Yep.
But just tragic, and what a loss. Like, definitely another piece of my childhood. You know, I think I've told the story on here that like my very first memory is going to see Star Wars at the age of 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad had always said, like, I'd never seen a 3-year-old sit as quietly in a movie as I did. And the very next movie that he took me to was Superman. And so you have Star Wars and then superheroes with Superman and Gene Hackman as Lex Luthor, big as life, like, as one of my first, like, love of cinema. So I'd always made it a point to watch like all of Gene Hackman's stuff. like everything from like the early stuff of like the conversation to like, you know, and he put himself out there for just about everything. I mean, he's his, the last, what is it? 10 minutes of The Birdcage when he's in drag.
Yes.
And like, just the fact that he did that, because he was like this big gruff, like Hollywood macho guy. And, you know, he put himself out there for that. And it, I don't know. It's that's a tough one for me. I mean, and he was in everything in the '70s and the '80s. I mean, until he retired in 2004. I mean, for 20 years, he just kind of was his own person.
Good for him.
Yeah. And we've always talked about that. We've always talked about like Johnny Carson and him, like just disappearing.
Yep.
Until one day you're found dead in your mudroom. And
partially mummified.
Partially mummified, yeah. Which is weird.
Yeah. I did not know. I did not realize that he was in Young Frankenstein.
Oh yes. Yep.
Yep. Bonnie and Clyde. Yep. One of his first movies.
The Poseidon Adventure. French Connection. Like all of like there's a bunch of movies that are considered like Hollywood classics that he's in, and he has a direct, you know, a direct like hand in making instant classics. So yeah, I mean that one's tough.
Well, hopefully we'll find out what really happened.
Yeah.
But totally bizarre.
Yeah.
And how did the dog die?
The dog was in a cage.
Oh, the dog was in a cage. Oh, yeah. And he wasn't fit for the 10 days that they were.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And there were two other dogs and that were still alive, but with the door ajar, what they feel is like there was a way for them to get to like food.
Okay.
And so the dog that was in the cage didn't.
Oh.
So that one died and the other two survived. So, yeah.
Wow.
And then just, was it yesterday? The 28th, David Johansen died.
Yes.
The lead singer of the New York Dolls. But most people probably know him best as Buster Poindexter.
Right.
He also was an actor. He was in, Scrooged. He played the Ghost of Christmas Past, the cab driver. He was in that stellar movie Free Jack with, Emilio Estevez. He did a bunch of stuff. He was in like Oz, the TV series. And a bunch of other stuff, but yeah, he died. He had cancer, I believe.
Yes.
I saw something that I guess recently he was, there was some kind of like GoFundMe or something for his like cancer treatment. And then apparently he lost his battle.
Yeah. He had stage 4 cancer and a brain tumor.
Oh, God. So fucked up.
Yep.
So yeah, lots of people dying this week.
Well, at least we got the three in a row right away. don't have to check in on Dick Van Dyke yet.
No. But I guess we have to watch Harrison Ford because now he has shingles. I don't think shingles is deadly, but, you know, he is older.
It's painful.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we got to watch out for him. We don't want to have him start out as the next, you know, block.
Right. It's very sad.
Yeah. So, what are you? Go ahead.
Oh, so I was going to ask if you were ready for Hollywood's big night.
I don't know if I care.
I kind of want to see how Conan does.
Yeah.
But as far as like the awards and stuff, I really don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Conan will be fine. I mean, he'll be very Conan-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, self-deprecating and, you know, why wasn't I, why am I not nominated and blah, blah, blah. But, you know.
Right.
You know, I've lost my love of the award season.
Yeah.
I used to watch this stuff all the time. Like, you know, I watched it the way that people, sports fans watch Super Bowl. And I just, I don't know. I don't ever get to see any of the nominated pictures or anything. So I just kind of, I don't know. Like the stuff that I like never gets nominated for anything.
Right.
I mean, and I know like this year, like there's a horror film up for like best picture and stuff like that, which is great. It's not going to win.
Right.
So I don't know. The only one that I really care about is, you know, best visual effects. And, you know, if Planet of the Apes doesn't win, then there's something very wrong with the Academy. But yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of miss the days of the MTV Movie Awards. Where it's like the anti-award show.
Yeah.
But the Oscars have gotten way too serious, or taking themselves way too serious. And that's just an immediate turnoff.
Yeah, I mean, it's Hollywood giving itself an award, and
right.
You know, it never reflects like the box office or what's popular or, you know, and I know it would be superhero movies all the time winning, but like, that's what people watch. That's how people escape.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's just, I mean, I don't think I saw, I'm looking at the list. I didn't see anything. Any of the movies that any of the actors or actresses, with the exception of Demi Moore in The Substance. I've seen parts of Wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've seen all of Wicked, I guess. But like, that's the only, and those are like the two mainstream movies. Everything
right.
else, like, I'm not going to sit through. I mean, I know you watch Conclave. But I'm not going to go and watch Emilia Perez or Anora or, you know, any of that stuff.
No?
No. I didn't see any of the animated stuff.
Not even the short film Yuck?
No.
Okay.
The only film that I saw that's up for directing is The Substance. Yeah, I mean, I'd be hard pressed to like follow stuff and like root for things because I just haven't seen it.
Right, and if you're not invested, the show is just
yeah,
not that interesting anymore.
Yeah, I mean, unless somebody's going to get up and punch a presenter.
Right.
I mean, that, and like, that was the only thing that was like exciting in the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Who are you rooting for visual effects?
Oh, Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes?
Let me find the category. Hang on. So I saw Alien Romulus. I thought it was done really well. It was supposed to be a direct to cable movie, and mm-hmm. it turned out so well that they threw more money into it, which is great. But in seeing breakdowns between Alien Romulus, Better Man, which is the Robbie Williams, he's a monkey movie, Dune Part 2, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and Wicked, the only one that has pushed the medium of visual effects forward is Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
There are shots in that movie of like apes in water that if you understand the technical limitations of like water sims and the interaction of I'm going to get a little technical, so I apologize. Soft body models interacting with water sims and the way that it all needs to come together to look realistic. And then you see this and it looks like real apes in water. Like, it's unbelievable how good it looks.
Okay.
And while I think Alien Romulus and Dune Part 2 and Wicked deserve the recognition of visual effects, I don't think that they really push visual effects forward. And I think Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes does. So I know everybody's up in arms about Dune not being up for like best picture and director. So there might be like it's nominated for visual effects, so we'll give them that. And I really hope that's not the case. I hope that stands on its merit. And it's awarded the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
Because even if you look at like, so you have two movies that revolve around apes. You have Better Man and Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. And if you just compare the main characters side by side, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes blows it out of the water. So I think Dune Part 1, which I'm pretty sure, did it win for visual effects? I can't remember. Dune Part 1. Let's see if it won something. It won 6 Oscars. Best sound, best achievement, and visual effects. Okay. I believe that was warranted because they came up with an entirely new way to shoot. Basically, they call them sand screen effects. So like instead of green screen, they used sand colored screens to pull the keys off of so that like it looked natural.
Mm-hmm.
And they pushed the art of visual effects forward with that. And I think in Dune 2, it was just more of the same. And so I don't really see them, you know, if the people who vote for it understand visual effects, I don't really see how they can vote for that.
Right.
And everything else, like Wicked, you know, Wicked has good visual effects, but at the end of the day, I don't think they top Kingdom, and I don't think Alien Romulus does either. I mean, Alien Romulus had to go back. There's, they kind of pulled a Rogue One and they brought a character from the original film back to life. Because this movie takes place like 20 years after the first one. And so they brought an android back that looked like Ian Holm. And they ran out of time and money. And they had to go back after the film was out of the theater and before it hit like digital, and they redid some of the visual effects to make him look better.
Oh.
And so I don't consider that like if you got to go back and fix it, like, you probably shouldn't win the visual effects category. That's just me, though. But, you know, are there any, thing that you were kind of rooting for? Anything that you've seen that you're like, oh, that probably deserves an Academy Award?
No.
No?
No, I could see Nosferatu or Wicked getting production design.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're really not interested in any of these things.
Yeah, it's definitely a year where, like, there's not a whole lot to look forward to.
And, I mean, some of these I haven't even heard of. You know, Sing Sing, Nickel Boys, The Brutalist.
Well, I think a lot of these, too, didn't get, like, a wide release. I think they released them, you know, in L.A. and New York so that they can be nominated.
Right.
And then, you know, oh, yeah, The Brutalist. So, like, go seek that out online somewhere.
But yeah, no, I think I'll just watch the highlights tomorrow.
Yeah, and I guess there's been all that, there's been some kind of controversy with Emilia Perez, with, I guess, the main actress, saying shit online that, like, made Netflix, like, disconnect from her. And it's like, okay.
Like the last, I mean, when are actors going to learn that their opinions really don't matter?
They don't understand. But, you know. So have you watched anything this week?
I'm finally catching up on High Potential.
Yeah.
I've got two episodes left.
Okay.
I like it, but I want more of her story. You know, the murder of the week is fine, but I want to know what's going on with, you know, why her husband disappeared and all that kind of stuff. Really didn't care about the bully nannies in the most recent episode I saw.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I still like it. It seems kind of weird that it ended the way it did. You know, that bizarre cliffhanger.
Yeah. So did you watch it all, or do you still have two episodes?
I've got, I just finished 11, so there's two more.
Okay. Did you read about the weird ending?
No, you had mentioned that it ended oddly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you how, but, like, yeah. And I've spoken to other people that have watched it and been like, what was up with that ending? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, apparently that was all Caitlin Olsen's schedule could accommodate, was 13 episodes.
Oh, okay.
But it's been renewed for a second season, so.
Good, then at least we'll get some answers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's well done. I think the episode I just watched with the nannies and then the guy who knew her husband. And then he sees her coming out of a restaurant with her takeout, and he's like, "Give me your lift."
Oh, yeah, he's the gangster guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then he walks into the church at the end. I thought, it's like, is he really like a priest or something?
There's a little bit more to his story in the next two episodes.
Okay.
And there's more to do with her missing husband too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel like that was the through line of the season. you know, it's a mystery set up to actually be resolved.
Right.
You know, and just the murder of the week stuff gets pushed to the forefront with that kind of in the background.
Well, good. I'll probably finish it all next day or two, if not tonight.
Okay. I mean, I definitely feel like of the current police procedurals, I do think it's one of the better ones.
Yeah.
I just like the way they tell the story, the little cuts to different things that, you know, may or may not have anything to do with like the actual murder.
Well, and I like her little fantasies, like the one with the baseball player's murder, where she's imagining that the son is, was it the son?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's the mechanic was having, was having an affair with the, with his manager.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it's like a, you know, romance novel scene.
Yeah. And it did like all that stuff may or may not be relevant. And, but you know, did you see did you see the one where they opened the cold case with the guy who, on his deathbed?
Yes.
Yeah. So like that whole thing where like, she imagines like, they drop the toaster into the shower and so that burns out the outlet. And so then they show all what she thinks happened. And then they go back and they actually find the burnt outlet. And like it almost feels like Clue. It almost feels like they're trying to give you these scenarios, and some of the scenarios are right and some of them aren't. And the way that it all shakes down, you know, I really like it. I really think that it's imaginative enough to be different.
Yeah, I mean, it's very well done. I like the cast.
Yeah. What else have you been watching?
Are you caught up on Severance?
Yes.
Oh my God, that episode.
This last one?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was really, I really, really loved the cinematography in this last one. They really went out of their way to make you feel lost in the story. I'm trying to get my thoughts together.
Right.
There's just so many different cuts and jumps and like transitions in and out of like what could be reality and what couldn't, while telling a backstory about what's been going on the entire time that you haven't seen.
Right.
Like, it was absolutely amazing. Like, Severance can go down as one of the best shows of television if it stays on this pace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that there's been a lot of talk about like it's been slow or whatever, and some of the episodes don't really make sense.
Right.
But there seems to be this plan, like the episode where they go camping and they keep running into like versions of themselves out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And how does that connect? And are they actually outside? And like, I honestly don't know if they were outside or not. Like just the way that this episode shows you all the doors and all the rooms, and like she goes into one and it's a dentist's office, and then she goes into one and it's a house, and like who knows what's in that building and
right.
what they can create and what you know, and every floor like triggers a different part of the Severance, I guess. And now there you find out that there's people that are actually watching the main characters work, and like all of this weird shit, like it deepens the mystery, but it makes it super intriguing to find out, you know, what these answers are going to be. Like, I really feel like the best television right now is on Apple Plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what exactly does Lumen do?
I don't know. And we talked before about when this is all taking place.
Right.
And I'm still not sure what year this is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when they're flashing around to Mark and his wife's story, like, he's typing on a typewriter. He's like, there's nothing, there's very little technology in it to make me think that it's present day, even though his license says like 2020, you know, it expires then or whatever.
Right.
Like, it's very disconcerting about when this shit's taking place.
Yeah, and I keep finding myself on every episode running to IMDb going, who is that? Who is that? It's like Robbie Benson is the doctor.
Yeah, and Sandra Bernhardt is the nurse.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, I saw her and I was like, that can't be Sandra Bernhardt. But it was.
Yep.
Like, it's got an amazing cast, and it's definitely written in a way where I'm just like, holy shit. Like, they've really thought about this shit.
Right. I mean, it's kind of like the Marvel CMU, where it's like, there are these minor things that have happened in movies, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That suddenly are important in the next film. And it's like, How did you keep track of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the cool things about Severance is they had 2 years, 3 years between seasons,
mm-hmm,
to really figure out where the story was going. And while, right, you know, I think 3 years is too long in between seasons, I really, really dig that, like, they took the time to plan this all out and figure out, like, how can we take the audience on a different ride while, mm-hmm, progressing the story and, like, really showing, like, how fucked up Lumen is. And,
right,
you know, you don't know what they're doing, but they seem to make everything. And, you know, what does Mark's job have to do with the rooms, like, with the numbers and, like, you know, because it was explained in the first season that those four people were looking at these files and feeling bad numbers.
Right.
And getting rid of them. And, like, how does that relate to what goes on in those rooms? You know, how does taking bad numbers affect somebody going to get dental work done? Or, right, you know, what's ever in that other room that Mark's been working on? Like, it's just really weird.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, week to week, there's just so much to unpack. And if this turns into another damn Lost, I'm going to be pissed.
I don't think it will. I really don't. Because I don't think they're, you know, there's nothing that's saying that they're dead. There's been a new wrinkle in the fact that, like, they're being watched. The main characters are being watched. And there seems to be a watcher for each one of them that kind of mimics the look of each of them. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yes.
But, like, yeah, I mean, Helly's watcher is a redhead. Mark's watcher is a, it's got like a, like, kind of a big hairdo. You know, Dylan's Watcher's a heavy set guy. So each one of them, and when they got rid of Irving, the next time you saw that room, the Irving Watcher was gone. And so they've really kind of thought about this, and I'm super excited to see how they resolve this, because I really do think they will.
Right. Yeah, it's very, I don't know, it's very weird. We've got, so how many episodes were in a season?
The last, let's see, all episodes. The first season had 9, and this one is supposed to have 10.
Oh, okay.
So we have three more. Three more after this. The last episode is called Cold Harbor, which is the one room, so I'm expecting that, like, we're going to get dropped into another, like, something like the first season where you just get blown away by the ending, and but it still is asking questions.
Yeah, it's definitely a show that's caught my, piqued my interest. Now it's okay, where are you gonna lead me?
Yeah.
Hopefully to a good place.
That's another show.
They should bring that back.
They should.
And concentrate on the demons.
Yeah. Tell it from the other side.
Right. Yeah. Like it's the exact same episode, but it's from the other side of the camera. I would watch that.
You think we could get all the actors back?
Well, Ted Danson's doing wireless commercials, and what's Kristen Bell doing?
True. I mean, I guess she hosted the SAG Awards, so, you know. I guess she's got something going. So I watched a movie this week that was universally panned when it came out in the theater.
Okay.
I have a soft spot for Westerns. I think I've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. And recently on Netflix, they put Horizon on, which is the Kevin Costner film.
The one that, yeah, okay.
So this is supposed to be part one of 4. And the runtime for part one was 3 hours. And I was like, wow. Okay, I guess I can watch this over a couple of days, which is what I ended up doing. Mm-hmm. Kevin Costner, who's the lead, doesn't show up until the first hour's over. Like at the hour mark is when he makes his entrance.
Okay.
It's cut in a way where it follows a bunch of characters and it jumps in time, but it never tells you how far and now who you're looking at. You're just supposed to kind of figure it out, which I guess is fine. But when you have a cowboy movie that where everybody kind of looks the same, everybody's riding a horse, everybody's got a hat on, a little information goes a long way. Like, the story starts with this area of land that's being prospected by two families, and the two families get wiped out by Native Americans, and guy comes along, stumbles upon the bodies and buries them and puts them under a tree with like three crosses. And the next shot is that land with people on it again. The tree is like really tall and the three crosses are kind of like crooked now. But it never says, you know, like 2 years later or like it's a, and it's an entirely new group of people with an entirely different story. And I was like, who cut this? And the movie jumps like that through the whole thing. That like, there's a little girl at one point who escapes an attack. There's a lot of Indian attacks, a lot of Native American attacks in this. And there's a little girl that survives one, and then it jumps to a different area with a woman who looks like the girl with his blonde hair, who's now living. They talk about how her family was killed. So I was like, all right, we've jumped in time. She's now grown. And then they they cut back to the little girl. And I'm like, so that's not her. And there's no like calling characters by names, really. So I'm watching this and I'm like, I'm totally confused. And a lot of the reviews online say the same thing. They're like, had no clue what was going on for the first hour and a half of this. And like, it kind of evens out towards the last part. And you finally kind of understand, like, you're watching like four different stories intertwined.
Okay.
It's really weird. And then the movie ends on what I only assume are scenes from part two that are cut together in a musical montage. But it doesn't say next time on Horizon or, you know, chapter two. It just starts this montage and ends the movie. And I'm like, what was I supposed to get from that? Like,
right.
And then I was like, okay, part two was supposed to come out in August. That must be on streaming too. No, it did so badly at the box office that they never released part two. And so now I'm just like, okay, I guess I wasted 3 hours.
Wow.
It's fucking weird. So I would suggest watching a better, Western, if you're into Westerns.
Oh, okay.
Horizons is not the thing to watch.
Two thumbs down?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even think I'll search out episode two when it does get released. The other thing that I watched this week was a recommendation on Netflix. You know, I like all those weird, like, Japanese death movies and TV shows and stuff.
Yeah.
And there was a movie on there that was just released called Demon City. And it's like the Japanese version of John Wick.
Oh, okay.
A hitman who's like the best hitman ever retires with his family, and his family gets killed and he's like kind of left for dead. And 12 years later, he wakes up from a coma and then like gets revenge on all of them.
Oh,
but there's a lot of really cool stunts and visual effects. In it, the movie's not like great. It's not as good as John Wick, but there's parts of it where I was like super stuck to the screen. Like some of the camera moves that they were doing and tying it in with visual effects was very cool. And all of the antagonists wear these masks that make them look like demons. And he's like trying to kill the demons. But at the end, he's the demon. Like there's this really weird kind of twist thing.
Hmm.
So I don't know. And then I was going to recommend to you, have you watched the show Paradise?
I watched the first episode and didn't really get into it.
Okay. I kind of dug the first episode.
Okay.
The twist at the end I thought was very cool. I don't know how you felt about it, but, you know, it's this. So for anybody who hasn't seen it, it's kind of a what you think you're watching is a murder mystery with a
right.
with an ex-president. But they keep dropping these little hints all along the way. And I kept wondering about the city that they were in or the town they were in and why it seemed so small. And there's this huge twist at the end. And I kept like, that's all I kept seeing was like, oh, you got to wait for the twist, wait for the twist. So I knew something was coming.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of dug it to, and like, I've only watched the first one, but I kind of want to see where this goes of, how it all shakes out with
yeah.
the twist. And it seems kind of reminiscent of other shows that I've watched recently. Like there seems to be some DNA in there with Silo and, what's the other one? Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there seems to be some sibling DNA in there. So I'm kind of interested to see if you actually find out what's going on everywhere else.
Huh?
So I don't know.
Well, maybe I'll rewatch it and give it another shot.
Okay.
It's not like there's a lot on these days.
Well, that's kind of what intrigued me was like, you know, there isn't a whole lot going on. So I was like, well, let me watch and see if I can at least like see if this is going to be interesting or not.
Yeah.
And then got to the end and I was like, all right, I think I'll stick with this at least for a little while.
Hmm. All right. I mean, I was expecting kind of a National Treasure Book of Secrets kind of thing.
Yeah.
And when it didn't turn out like that, I was kind of like, eh. Could take it or lose it.
Okay.
But maybe I'll give it another shot.
Okay.
But yeah. Are you still watching The Boys?
Yes.
So apparently they're adding two more actors from Supernatural to the cast for season 5.
Yes. It's going to be a mini reunion apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people when, is it Jensen Ackles that was in The Boys originally?
The first. Yep.
So when he was cast, everybody was like, oh, where's everybody else?
Right.
Because they have brought, you know, in the last season, what's his name? The dude that played Negan. And it was also on Supernatural.
Morgan?
Richard?
No.
Morgan Dean?
Yes.
That dude. He was in The Boys.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
He was in The Boys. And so everybody was like, oh, they're kind of doing Supernatural. And then when season 5 was announced as the last one, I guess they were like, let's get everybody in here.
Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, The Boys is so well done.
Mm-hmm.
It could be hard to watch for some people. There's a lot of like real graphic shit.
Yeah, I might have to tune in again. We'll see.
Did you like leave off somewhere?
I like,
did it get too much for you?
I left off after the Nazi got her legs blown off.
Oh.
I was kind of like, yeah, that's enough.
Was that the season? That wasn't the season with Jensen Ackles, was it?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't see when he came on.
Because there's an episode that the season that he's in where they have that they show up at a superhero orgy that is super fucked up.
Wait a minute. I saw the superhero orgy. What was it? Herogasm?
Maybe. I thought that was the one with Jensen Ackles though. I thought he was there.
I don't remember now. Was also long ago.
Yeah, Herogasm was.
Yeah, I saw that episode, okay. That season.
Oh, okay. Then you did see that one.
But I don't
okay.
remember Jensen Ackles being on it yet.
Yeah, he was Soldier Boy.
Was he?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see how it goes.
But yeah, I mean, there's some really fucked up stuff in The Boys.
Yeah.
Did you happen to catch the any of the trailers for the new Snow White movie?
Yeah.
I think Disney should have just taken a loss on this.
And they should have. It's like, all right. That's where you want to go. You think you're going to get a return out of it.
I mean, I saw a couple of different commercials or short trailers or whatever, and I'm pretty sure Dopey talks in this, and I'm like, if you're going back to like kind of the original cartoon, I don't know why you're having Dopey talk now.
Right. The whole concept of it just isn't working for me.
No.
And the voices of the dwarves are kind of weird casting.
Yeah.
You know, Titus Burgess, who was in, what was that show called? The one with Ellie Kemper, where she was like a sister wife being held in a secret compound by John Hamm. Oh, what was that called?
I don't know.
Anyway, I mean, he's bashful. Jeremy Swift is Doc. Andrew Barth Feldman is Dopey. Marty Kleba, the dwarf from Pirates of the Caribbean, is Grumpy, which sounds like good casting. Jason Kravitz? He looks familiar. He plays Sleepy? Sneezy.
So I guess this was originally supposed to be not dwarves.
Right.
It was supposed to be magical creatures, and there was a picture of them marching in the field, and
it was not any of these actors.
No. And once those pictures leaked, everybody went apeshit, and I guess Disney pulled back and said, we're going to redo some of this. And I guess they just spent the money to CGI everything, CGI everybody out and put these new dwarves in. I don't think they brought back Rachel Zegler to reshoot. Maybe they did, because she was very vocal at one point about like people hating on it.
Right.
To the point where like she actually lost jobs because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if Disney would have brought her back for all of that, but like, it's a bold move to spend that much money to redo it, thinking that you're going to get your money back in return.
Right.
For a movie that I don't know if it speaks to the same audience that like the original did, because the original was like, you know, groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like, you know, cartoons and technology and stuff at the time. And, you know, you have this, and then you have Lilo and Stitch coming out. I just don't know. I don't see them making their money back. And the way that they've shut shit down for tax breaks.
Right.
Really makes me wonder why they decided that this was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's like dance numbers in it. Like really weird shit.
Yeah. They're saying that it it's tracking for like a $53 million opening weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate them saying that like, oh, this is a new live action movie. and 90% of it is CGI. And if you're just going to recreate the animated film,
yeah, why
shot
bother?
By shot with a human actor, why are you wasting your time?
Yeah.
Why are you wasting my time?
So according to Google, so take that for what it's worth, the estimated budget is anywhere between $210 and $240 million when all was said and done.
Oh, they're going to, well.
Now figure they usually spend the equivalent of half the budget on marketing. So that's right. Another $100 million to market it. So there's no way they're making $350 million back on this.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh.
No. I mean, Captain America, they had a 67% drop in the second weekend.
Right.
Like, if they're projecting a $53 million opening and this movie sucks, they're never making their money back.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe this will be the end of the CGI live action films.
Oh, God. I doubt it.
I just don't know who's greenlighting this stuff.
No, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, between that and, like, they released a teaser for Shrek. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't see it. I'm not really interested.
It's an interesting, like, not that you're going to watch the movie, but, like, if you look at the animation and the character designs, it looks like they've stepped way backwards. And I know technology has changed, and, like, the first couple of movies were done in a way where, like, you know, they couldn't preview anything. They had to just render it and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
But it really looks like they've taken a step backwards. Yeah, I mean, I just don't know what's going on with these movies anymore. I just think everybody's so rushed, you know, to produce this stuff in a short amount of time that just it all just suffers for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you get, you know, shitty looking dwarfs, and like the dinosaurs in the new Jurassic Park film all look fucking terrible. And
right.
You know, it's not like, you know, I don't feel like the directors have the pushback anymore to tell the studios, like, well, we need more time. You know, they're just told, well, here's your release date. Here's when you shoot. Good luck. And then they try to cram everything together.
Right. I don't know. There's not a lot of interesting movies that I'm interested in coming out this year. Ironheart? I didn't even know there was an Ironheart movie coming.
That was supposed to, I think it's a movie now, or is it a TV show?
don't know. It's on IMDb as a movie.
Oh, because I originally was supposed to be a TV show on Disney Plus.
Right.
So I don't know.
Not to be confused with Iron Fist.
So a couple of things that I just thought about. We get Daredevil in 2 days.
Yeah.
I guess it's gotten such a good reaction that Disney has greenlit season two, which is already filming.
Okay. That's good news.
Yeah, and Kristen Ritter actually has been posting a bunch of shit from New York.
Mm-hmm.
So they're thinking that Jessica Jones will be back.
Okay.
Which would be cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And then we also got an Andor trailer, which was interesting because they didn't use Star Wars music.
Uh-huh.
But it works for what they showed. What really excites me about Andor is it's 12 episodes, and they're releasing them 3 episodes at a time.
Okay.
I don't know how well you remember the first season. But every 3 episodes was like a mini arc.
Right.
And so what they're doing is they're releasing the mini arcs over 4 weeks. So, it's going to be like getting an Andor movie every week for 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just fucking awesome.
Right.
They said between every arc will be a time jump, and then it will butt right up to Rogue One.
Right.
So I am super excited that we are not only getting Daredevil, which is supposed to be really good, but Andor, all within like a 2 month stretch.
Oh, good. There'll be stuff to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. We're getting K2SO back. Getting Krennic. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. And I know they've recut the trailer. Like, people, like, fans have recut the trailer with, like, Rogue One music, and that's fine. But I think what they were trying to do is that particular trailer was not meant for the Star Wars fans. It was meant for people who probably have heard about Andor and the fact that it's Star Wars, but it's not like kids Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's designed to show you that, like, oh, this is like a super mature, super like a show that like anybody can watch, not just Star Wars fans. So I think that's why they use like the contemporary song and,
right,
you know, it was cut in a way to like show characters but not really give any of the story away.
Right.
So that's good. But yeah, I'm excited for the future.
Well, good.
All right. You got anything else for this week?
No. Not that won't get us in trouble.
All right. Let's not get in trouble.
All right.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on YouTube and Facebook and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Don't piss in my ear and tell me it's raining.